right. Thank you, Alyssa and Grace. All right. Well, as some of you may or may not know this about me, but I really love looking at old art. I find it beautiful. I find it fascinating and intriguing. And recently I was looking at some old Catholic art. And this is one of the pieces I found. This is a man named Saint Jerome. This was painted in the 17th century. And this is a piece of him translating the Bible into Latin. Now, if you look closely, there's something like slightly disturbing about this painting. I don't know if you can tell, but there is a skull sitting on his desk. And I remember thinking to myself, like, what is going on? Is this like a decoration? Is this like one of his friends? Like, is this like a collectible? And I kind of just brushed it off. I said, you know, that's fine, I guess. And I just brushed it off. But I continued looking at more Catholic art, and I kept finding art pieces with skulls in them, okay? Here's another, here's a few different pieces of art. So I kept seeing these pieces where monks would either be holding skulls, or there'd be skulls in their prayer rooms or their monasteries or on their desks in their offices. And I'm like, what is going on? It's just not a normal practice of mine to have skulls around. And so I was thinking, what is going on? And I did some research, and this is what I learned, okay? I learned that many early Catholic monks would put a skull in their direct line of sight every day so that they would see it. So, it, like I said, in their prayer rooms, in their offices, on their desks, in their monasteries, they would put it in their direct line of sight to remind themselves that life was fleeting, to remind themselves of their mortality. And to me, I'm like, man, that is heavy. That is heavy. These actually weren't like pieces of art or like toy skulls. These were the skulls of their friends, okay? And I was thinking, that is heavy. But for them, it wasn't really this heavy, morbid introspection. For them, it was just this simple reminder, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Life is fleeting. Make your life count, okay? And I found that really cool. I found that incredibly compelling. And in light of this morning, I want to talk about this idea of calling, okay? We've been talking about identity a lot, and I hope that's been helpful for you. We've talked about how God sees you, who you are, whose you are. What does God say about you? Despite what the world says about you, and even the voices that say things about you inside your own heart, who does God say you are? And we've been going through that the last 2 months, but today we're going to talk about calling. Calling. What is God's purpose for my life? What is God's will for my life? How am I supposed to spend my days, spend my energy? What do I do with my time here on earth? Because life is fleeting, right? And so I want you to look up here on the screen. Here is a little life map. If you notice, this kind of traces the life of a girl as a toddler all the way unto her elderly years, okay? So let's just say, think about your life for a second. Let's just say that you live for the next 70 years, maybe 70 years. That would put a lot of you at age 99 or so. So let's just say you live the next 70 years. Some of you might live longer. I don't know. Does anyone know how old the oldest person alive in the world is right now? Anyone know? There is a woman in Brazil who is 116 years old. Yeah, I was reading about her, and apparently she loves to play soccer, which I'm like, what? Like, that's kind of interesting, but that could be you. You could live for the next 116 years old. That might be you. Okay, so look at this for a second. Many of us are asking, how do I want to spend these years, right? How am I supposed to use my time well? What do I want to do with these years? Now, as you know, a lot of you will do very similar things as the person sitting next to you, right? We'll go to the next slide there. So, you know, Lord willing, you graduated high school. You probably have if you're here. I really hope all of you graduate college. You might get a job. You might get married if you want. You don't have to, but if you want to get married, you might have some kids. You might own property, buy a house, retire, become a grandparent. So in a lot of ways, you are going to do very similar things as the person sitting next to you, right? But as you look at life really, really closely, you also could probably say that you will do very different things with your life than the person sitting next to you, right? We'll go to the next slide here. So obviously, there are a lot of different life directions that your life will take. So we might think we're doing the very same thing and we're just all doing the same thing here on earth. But as you think really deeply about it, you know that you are going to take a very different path even than the person sitting right next to you, right? So there are these individual decisions that you will make with your life that will be so different than the person sitting next to you. We've been talking about it a lot here in chapel, but we firmly believe, I believe, when I read God's word, I believe it teaches that God gives each of us a very unique, custom-made, individually tailored calling for your life, made for you by God. And that is a really good thing, right? And in my opinion, that makes walking with Jesus incredibly exciting. That when you basically choose to walk with God, he has a custom-made plan for your life that will look so different than the person sitting next to you, all right? There's this really neat Psalm 138. It is one of my favorites. It'll be up here on the screen. This is what God promises. He says he will fulfill his purposes for you. He will fulfill his purposes for you. And to me, that is incredibly exciting that we can trust that as we are walking with God, he will fulfill his purposes for us. So we know the end goal, but still in the process of this, right, we want to know today, what is God's will for my life? What is God's will for my life today? And of course we want to know that, right? When we know what God's will for our life is, it helps us navigate a lot of the little decisions we're trying to make in life, right? Especially as young people. If I can know what God's will for my life is, then I can figure out what my major should be. Where should I go to college? Should I go to grad school? What kind of skills should I develop? Where should I live after college? What should I pour my energy into? And so there's all these little decisions we have to make as young people. And so it just feels better when we know what God's will for our life is, right? And so a lot of us are asking this. And this is kind of something I want to address this morning. Now, it's interesting. What I've learned is that God doesn't write his will for us in the sky, right? It would be so great if he just kind of sent us an email and said, this is my will for your life, but he doesn't do it like that. He actually allows us to wrestle with it a little bit. He allows us to wrestle and to navigate and to process with him. And I think that can be a frustrating wrestle sometimes when we really want to know, but it's also a really cool wrestle and journey we get to go on with God, okay? Now, here's what I want to dive into this morning. There's an American theologian. His name is Frederick Buechner. He was around in the 1900s, and he came up with this quote that I have found incredibly helpful when it comes to understanding God's will for our lives, okay? And here's what he did. He pretty much took everything he knew about the Bible, took everything he knew about God, took everything he knew about human nature, took everything he knew about how we lived and what the world looked like and all of that, and he came up with this formula to help us understand what maybe God's will for our life could be, a little bit of a compass to help us understand God's will for our life. So this is the quote. I'm going to read it a few times, and then we're going to kind of unpack this morning. I hope it's helpful to you. Okay, this is what he says. He says, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. I'm going to read that one more time. He says, the place where God calls you to is oftentimes the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Okay, what does he mean by this? Pretty much he is saying this, two things. He says, pretty much, two things to think about when you are trying to navigate what is God's will for my life. Where is your deep gladness, what you love to do, and where does the world need care and love and healing? Two things, okay? I'm going to talk about both of these. Number one, first thing, look at what you love to do. Gladness is what the theologian said. Gladness is, man, your deepest joy, your deepest happiness, deepest pleasure, your gladness, okay? So how do I navigate my calling? Well, pretty much this theologian is saying, where do you feel the most gladness? Where do you experience the most insurmountable joy? This doesn't have to be complicated. He is saying that oftentimes God's will for your life might have something to do with the places you experience the most joy. So I want you to just look at your life for a second. Listen to your life for a second. Where are those places where you just experience so much joy, those activities that you just love doing, love participating in. When you are doing them, you just feel like this is what I was born to do. Everything feels right. This is what I was made to do. Maybe those moments when you forget to look at your phone because you would rather stay in the moment than taken out of it, right? What are those moments for you? Maybe that's you when you are playing guitar. Maybe that's you when you are at clinicals or when you're in a biology lab. Or maybe that's you when you are looking through 100 pictures you took after an event, Addie Jones. All right? Maybe that's you when you are singing or you're dancing or studying math or something like that. Okay? He's saying, look at those moments for yourself. Parker Palmer, he's a Christian author who talks a lot about calling, and he said this quote. This is probably one of my favorite quotes of all time. It'll be up on the screen. He says, your calling at its deepest level is something you can't not do for reasons you're unable to explain to anybody else and don't fully understand yourself, but that are nonetheless compelling. Something you can't not do for reasons you're unable to explain to anybody else and don't fully understand yourself, but that are so compelling. Do you ever feel like this? That there are these things in life you can't not do, and they're weird, they're odd, other people don't really dig them, but you know you have to do them. And you'll spend hours doing them, and the hours will go by like that. It's the person, right, who stays up really, really late making music, and other people are in bed and want to go to sleep, but for you, you just want to make music. Or you're staying up late and you're writing and you're writing, and you'd rather do that than sleep, right? Other people don't understand it, but you want to do that. It's the person who gives up their whole summer to volunteer at a camp with kids, right? Other people are like, I'd rather go on vacation, but not you. You want to do that. It's the person who gives up their spring break to volunteer at the hospital or an animal shelter, and other people are like, I'd rather go on vacation or rest for my spring break, but not you. You have to do this. Maybe you love the outdoors, going on hikes, playing drums, balancing budgets, or studying the stock market or cryptocurrency, or you love to play sports or travel or teach. You just feel like this is what you were born to do, okay? So think of those areas where you experience deep, deep gladness. Just ponder it for a second. Now, some of us might ask, is it like selfish? Is it selfish to pursue our passions and our dreams in life and our deep gladness? Well, let's look at a few verses up here on the screen. Psalm 20, verse 4 says this, may he grant you your heart's desires and fulfill all your plans. Psalm 145:19 says, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So friends, I think it's important to remember God is not against the desires and the dreams you have in your life. Have we thought about the fact that when God created you, he put those dreams and desires within you? You know, Alyssa or Grace, one of the two, read this verse earlier where they said that Paul in the book of Ephesians says, we are God's workmanship. That means we are a piece of art. And it means that when God crafted you and created you, he made you intentionally wired a specific way with a specific personality, skills, abilities, talents, dreams, heart desires. He crafted you a certain way with an intention that you would use the way you were made and wired to serve him. So then the ways that we have been wired end up being a signpost to the dreams that he might have us fulfill with him in our lives. Think about it for a second. Permission to dream with God. Now, I think it's always important that as we walk with God and we stay close to God, we hold our dreams with an open hand right before the Lord. And he takes our dreams and he fulfills them in the ways that he wants to, his perfect way, his perfect plan. It might look really different than we thought it would look. But the encouraging thing is, as we stay tight with God, we know that he's going to fulfill purposes for our lives. So none of us are accidents, right? We all have a role to play. Now, sometimes it would be silly, right, to run after a call but forget the caller. You know, we want to stay tight with God as we walk through life with our dreams. We don't want to run after the dream but forget the person who gave us the dream. So friends, permission to dream with God. God's people have always been dreamers. Permission to dream with God. You know, some of you are in Old Testament with Dr. Middlebrook, and there's some incredible stories in the Old Testament. One of my favorites is the story of Joseph. Now, I don't have time to unpack all of this, but there's an incredible paradigm of when a dream starts and when a dream gets fulfilled in the story of Joseph. And sometimes God gives people dreams, and from the birth of a dream to the fulfillment of the dream, it can take a long time, right? There's a lot that happens in that middle time. 22 years from the time that Joseph dreamed a dream and the time that God fulfilled it. And you know what? By the time the dream was fulfilled, it was different than Joseph thought it was going to be. It took longer than Joseph thought it would be. It was harder than Joseph thought it would be. But you know what? It was better than Joseph thought it would be. And that's what it's like to dream with God. So how do we navigate this? How do we navigate this? Well, it takes some time. Ponder, talk with your friends, pray, reflect. It takes time and seasons to figure out, where is my deep gladness? Where is my deep gladness? So figure out where your deep gladness is. And a lot of times, just consider that that could be one of the ways, the signpost that God uses to show you what his will for your life is, okay? Now, number two, that's the first part of the formula. Number two, this is what Frederick Buechner says. He says, where is the place where your deep gladness is? And number two, where does the world's deep hunger meet? The world's deep hunger. Now, what is that supposed to mean? The world's deep hunger. He's saying, where does the world ache? Where is the world in pain? Where does the world ache? So God designed my calling to not just be where I experience joy, but also where I can love and care for the needs of the world. My calling is not just for me. It was never just for me, right? Where can what I love to do meet the world in its place of need, right? And this makes our calling not selfish, because God used the way we were made and our calling to love on a hurting and broken and confused world, right? So when you look inward on the ways that God has made you, and then you look outward on the ways where the world is hurting, in anguish, in injustice, in pain, and you think to yourself, how can what I love to do bring healing to the world? Our calling is never just for us. So I want you to think about the world for a second. Don't judge the world. Don't throw zingers at the world. Don't condemn the world. Just think, lovingly consider the pain of the world. How can my joy, what I love to do, meet the world in their place of pain? It doesn't take long, right, for us to consider where the world is in pain. Just turn on the news, right? I read something last week that said 45 million kids won't get a meal today, right? And then to bring it a little more close to home, I believe about 800 kids in Shasta County are homeless. How can I use my God-given passions, how I have been wired, to bring love and care and healing to a world full of pain, right? Now, it does take pondering also, right? Because some of the ways that we experience joy might not bring care to the world. You might say, you know, I experience joy when I am hacking someone's bank account, right? And it's like, oh, like, good for you. You met the first requirement. But is that like bringing care to the world? Like, it depends on who you ask, but I'm going to say that's a hard pass, right? So it takes reflection. You know, Matthew 5, as Grace read earlier, says we are called to be salt and light. To the world, salt, that means making something taste better, preserving something, light. It means bringing wholeness, bringing clarity to a world that can be confused, right? We're called to be salt and light to the world. So if my calling is adding to the world's pain, I better check myself. if my calling over my life, what I feel like God has called me to do, is actually hurting the world more, then I'm going to be fighting against God, right? Try again. Try again. So how do we ponder this, right? Well, like I said, it takes reflection and prayer. It takes looking lovingly at the world, being concerned about the pain of the world, hurting with the world, right? It takes loving reflection and consideration. It takes care. You know, it even takes self-awareness. Some of us might be like, you know what? I just love to sing. That's where I experience joy, being a singing. I'm just going to sing for the world. But if you're not a good singer, you aren't caring for the world, right? And so some of this takes like self-reflection, right? We got to be honest about our abilities and the ways that God wired us, right? If you're not a good singer and you're not blessing anybody by it, then try again, right? So this takes some good self-awareness. This takes self-awareness and others being honest with you where they see your giftings and your talents. It takes self-awareness and prayer and reflection. Man, some of you want to be nurses. Amazing. What a way to care for the world. Some of you want to be engineers. We need your logic, right? We need the ways you're going to build innovation and increase efficiency. Some of you might want to be moms or dads, right? We need that. Maybe that's God's call for your life, just to raise the best kids you can. That's awesome. We need that. Some of you want to be therapists and social workers or coaches or teachers in the world. We need all of that, right? Some of us might be solving world hunger, or you might be sitting in a therapy office with a client and working through the darkest season of their life with them, or helping them walk after a car accident, or you might be placing a foster care kid in a safe home. We need it all. No calling is too small or too little. We need it all. We all have a role to play. So I want you just to think for yourself, where is my deep gladness? Where is my deep gladness? And how does that intersect with where the world needs love and care and healing? So basically, where does my joy and the world's need intersect? And could there be a calling for my life somewhere in there? Okay, as I wrap this up, let me talk about my own journey really fast, okay? Okay, I'm going to show you some pictures of me as a kid, all right? Okay, so, yeah, I'm like missing a tooth, which that's so embarrassing. It's right in the middle there. Okay, so this is a picture of me when I was 3, and this was in 1993. So all of you remember 1993, okay? So I think my parents put me in timeout in that picture, which they like put me in a box, which like never put me in a box. You know what I mean? So I think I'm in a box. Look at my face. I'm like so annoyed. Yeah. And this is a picture of me when I was 6, okay? Yeah, that middle tooth. So yeah, I'm so thankful it like grew back in. But yeah, okay, so someone encouraged me once to keep pictures of myself as a kid, like by my bed, to see every single day, every single night. And they told me to do this for 2 reasons, okay? Number one, I think when we see pictures of ourselves as kids, we are reminded of like this joy we had as like a little kid, right? You know, now that we're adults, like life gets heavy, things are hard, it's stressful, but as kids, we don't really think about that. It's just very joy-centered and carefree, right? And so when I look at these, probably not that picture, but when I look at this picture, I kind of just am reminded of like this carefreeness I had in life anytime I see this picture when I wake up or when I go to bed. But number two, as kids, we just like dream, right? We have dreams for our lives. We have these big dreams, and we don't think about all of the hard parts of the dreams that we dream, right? Some of us at age 6 are like, I'm going to be a doctor. And we don't really think anything of it. Just like, I'm going to be a doctor. We don't think about how expensive it'll be or how long that's going to take or all of the difficult people we might encounter or all the stress it's going to take. So one of the reasons I was encouraged to keep pictures of myself as a kid, like by my bed, is to remind myself of just the joy I had as a kid, the carefreeness I had as a kid, but also the dreams I had as a kid. Right? And something I remembered about myself, two things. Number one, I just love to be with people. I just love to have fun and be with people. That has always been true about me. And I like to be friends with like adults, which was kind of interesting. So I just loved people. I loved conversation with people. But the second thing about me is that I was always really emotional. I was always really emotional as a kid. And some of you are like, wow, like not much has changed. But I was always emotional, right? So I was either always like laughing or crying. And my parents were like, what do we do with this child, you know? And so those are two things I always remembered about myself. I loved people. And I just had this emotional depth that was always just a deep heart, a bleeding heart, right? I was just always expressing a lot of emotion. So these are the two things I just always knew about myself. And as I went through middle school and high school, I needed a lot of help in my walk with God and even just in my emotional life. So I had a lot of mentors that helped me and walked with me and helped navigate these emotional roller coasters I had. I also had a ton of questions in my walk with God. I was like, I don't get this. I don't get that. I just need a lot of help. And I had mentors that walked with me and helped me all through middle school and high school. And I remember thinking to myself, if I could be a mentor one day like that, that would be awesome. I just remember that about myself. And here's the thing. I took these things with me, right? I knew that I loved people. I knew that I wanted to help people in the emotional and the spiritual depths of their lives. And that kind of guided me through my calling. All through my 20s, I was navigating that. What did that mean? And those were the two things that led me to apply to this job at Simpson. And being in this job is like one of the biggest joys of my life. It's so much fun. I love being here. I love walking with a lot of you in your emotional and your spiritual journeys, right? And it's so much fun, and it's so incredible. But I needed to know these things about myself. I needed to know these things about myself as I walked into a calling for my life. So that's a little of my life, but I want you to think about your life for a second. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of time, a little bit of response time to yourself, time to discuss with friends around you. I want you to think, you can go to that next slide, Alyssa. Where do you experience deep gladness, and where does the world need care and love and healing? And a lot of times at the intersection of this spot is maybe where God is calling you to, God's will for your life. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. I'm gonna pray, and then I'm going to give you guys, what time are we at? Okay, so we got a little bit of time. I'm going to give you guys, we're just going to play some music. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of time just to talk with the person next to you. You can talk to yourself. You can journal, whatever you want to do. But we want to give you guys space this morning just to ponder these two questions right here. Maybe someone else wants to speak into your life this morning and tell you, hey, this is what I see in you. I see this dream in you. I see this passion in you. Maybe you want to call out something in someone else this morning. So I just want to give you permission and time to do that. We're going to take about 5 minutes of a response time, and then we're going to have Brandon come on up here and close us out. And so let me pray, and then we're going to give you some time of discussion. So Jesus, thank you, God, that you care enough about us to give us a call for our lives. Lord, I'm so grateful that you actually care enough that you want us to work towards the purposes in the world that you have, God, and you don't have to use us, but you choose to use us. I pray you would take those in this room who are obedient and in love with you, and you would just take them on an incredible journey with their lives. Lord, it's about leaving a legacy. We get to leave a legacy as we walk here on earth, Lord. And so I just pray that you would just speak to the hearts of young people here this morning, God, and maybe just reveal a calling and your will for all of the lives in this room this morning, God. Lord, we love you, and we commit our lives to you, and we ask these things in your name.